Women are much more complex than men. Men are black and white, black and white, black and white. Women are all these shades of gray. And I spend a lot of time trying to get men to understand their wives. Try to understand the gray pattern. You know, okay, that means, what is this? I try to understand. And take the area we're going to be discussing in a little bit, the area of sex. When it comes to the area of sex, men are like those old AM radios that used to set in people's homes in the 30s and 40s. They just have one button on the front. On and off. Women, on the other hand, are like the cockpit to a 747.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Man, this guy is nuts. Absolutely ludicrous. I love to inspire people's lives with truth and humor. There are a lot of performers that make people laugh, and there are a lot of speakers who give solid principles for living. And I kind of like to do both. Mark Gunger is a pastor, speaker, author, musician, producer. He's just a renaissance guy. He does everything, and he's joining us now on The Drew Marshall Show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Holy jumping. You are a class act, man. How long have you been doing this this thing, this shtick, this laugh your way to a better marriage seminar?
5.5 years.
Good for you. I'm so glad that somebody has found someone within Christendom with a sense of humor. God looked across the earth for someone and found you.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, isn't it?
And it's always the follically challenged guys that have the best humor, I think.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, baby. Well, look, you're on The Drew Marshall Show. My co-host today is Tim Miller, and we are just going to have a little wee chat about marriage differences between men and women. We're doing a bit of a theme here. We talked to another gentleman named Dave Curry from over there in British Columbia. But this thing that you do, I mean, if someone was to show up at one of these conferences, like, are they supposed to show up if their marriage is in trouble?
No, it doesn't really matter if it's in trouble or if it's great or anywhere in between. In fact, at my conference, you don't even have to be married. I'm serious. This is just open for anybody who wants to learn about relationships. Mine is not a typical marriage seminar. Most marriage seminars, you walk in, you get a workbook, you got to take notes. You've got emotional breakout sessions, you know. You got to share your deep
emotional breakouts.
Not with these two participants.
Well, this is hell for most men, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I call my seminar the perfect seminar for men because you don't have to do anything.
Oh, buddy, that's beautiful.
Sweet.
Just laugh, listen, and learn.
Do you pass out remote controls for the guys?
You know, that's not a bad idea.
We always feel a little more comfortable with a remote control in our hand.
All right, tell me about Tale of Two Brains.
We talk about how men and women tend to think very differently from each other.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Don't believe you.
Like, give me an example.
Good night. A man thinks and acts in a certain way. A woman doesn't understand it. She assumes he has a bad heart. We're very quick to make into heart problems what are essentially head problems. Guys do the same thing. Couples are at each other's throats a lot of time just because we're normal, just because we're men. You know, a lot of women, and I'll tell you, one of the things that that's really different about my seminars is I don't beat up on men for not being women.
You don't. So you don't want to make us little girly man?
No, I mean, what in the world? You know, it's like, you need to be more emotional. You need to be more this. You need to be that. Oh, be quiet. You know, it's just, get a life. You know, and women. You know, what is it with them? They. You ask a lot of women to describe their ideal man, and they'll describe another woman.
Yeah, or a gay guy. Really, that's kind of what it boils down to.
You know, and the reality is, you know why so many women are so mad? It's because men make really lousy girlfriends.
They do.
We're not girlfriends. We're men. We're not sick. We're not twisted.
My hands aren't steady enough to do nail polish, so I know that doesn't help.
And it would take you an hour and a half to shave your body, big guy.
Oh, that just gave me a bad
visual right there.
I am the missing link.
So anyway, I try to encourage men just to be men. I spend more time trying to get women to understand men than men trying to understand women.
Hold on, are you telling
that
me...
That is a simpler approach.
No. Are you telling me that men are less complicated than women?
Oh, by leaps and bounds. I mean, you know, I can explain a man to you in one evening. I need like an hour, I need like a month and a half to go the other way. You know?
That would have been an interesting question to ask those couples who've been married for 60 years. Have you finally figured that out yet?
Yeah.
The woman yet?
Yeah, no, exactly.
No, they'll all say no.
You're talking to two guys here, all right?
And yep.
two, we're married, we got kids, we're both trying to figure out how to do life, we're both trying to stay married, we're both trying to get a little action every once in a while. Can you explain
once
to
in
us?
A while.
Can you help us understand our wives, please?
No,
it's not even the point. The point is I try and get wives to understand the men. For
right.
example, if your wives were there, I would say to them, look, you want to succeed with a guy? Let me show you five simple steps. Number one, you want something from a guy? Ask for what you want.
Oh.
You know, what a concept, you know. So men do not have ESP. We have ESPN.
Exactly.
It's totally different.
Yes.
Step number two, you need to ask more than once. I say, asking a man to do something once is like never having asked him to do it at all.
Exactly.
And I am stunned, shocked at the number of women. They literally will ask their husbands one time.
What is that?
6 months later, they're still mad because he hasn't done it, but will not repeat the command. You know, as if we are intentionally remembering everything they said and just being evil.
That's just wrong.
And we don't even remember what they said. No. What in the world? Just, and I explain why that is. Men are by nature takers. Women are by nature givers. You try and get a taker all of a sudden to lock into your way of thinking? No. It takes a few times to get through to our little brains. Number three, don't use insult as a motivator.
No, that never works.
You know, what's the matter with you? Can't you pick up the laundry? No, I'm an idiot and a moron. Of course I can't. Hey, is that your underwear laying over there? Well, better be. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous.
That's gross. I always leave marks in mine so I know that they are mine.
So he can fight his way back to the laundry.
Okay. Now, before I go on to number four.
Yes.
Because this is a faith-based thing, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, check this out.
Yeah.
If you want something from God, what do you got to do? You have to ask for what you want.
Okay.
Even though Jesus said God, unlike women's husbands, knows what you want before you even ask.
No, my wife thinks she's God then.
But you have to ask, right? If you don't ask, you're not getting anything
yeah.
from God. Okay.
Right.
Number two, you have to ask more than once.
Mm.
Right?
I get it.
God taught us we need to pray and keep praying, and Jesus taught us about being persistent in prayer. Number three, you don't insult God if he doesn't show up when you think he should.
I like, you know, honestly, in my prayer life, my theology is so sick and twisted, I say stuff like to God like this, bet you won't.
That is sick and twisted.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you can't.
Yeah. Here, lick this pole. It's minus 30 outside. Bet you won't.
All right, sorry. Keep going, yeah?
No. Stop and think. Right there. Think about this. Millions of women try to hold their husbands to a higher standard than God Almighty.
Amen, brother. You know, you've just become my bestest friend.
Well, stop and think about this. 80% of all divorces are filed by women.
Wow. Are you serious? Is that an accurate statistic?
Yes, absolutely. It is women who are so angry. They are so frustrated. They are coming and glued.
Well, it started in Eden, right?
Yes, it did, but let's not go back that far.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
I don't like apples. Why'd you bring me an apple? I asked for a pear. I asked what for a pear? Come back with an apple.
Sorry, keep going. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Stay focused, will you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm working on that. But anyway, so here's the deal. They have such an over-romanticized perspective that they don't want to do these common, simple things that even in dealing with God they have to do. Because they bought into this romantic fantasy that if he really loved me, he would know. If he really loved me, I wouldn't have to ask more than once. If he really, you know, and it's all nonsense, and
yeah.
it's just based in stupidity. And the reality is, if you let that over-romanticized expectation run your marriage, it will ruin your marriage.
You know, a guy said to me a couple of years ago, he said, I don't think that the biggest threat in the world is drugs or abortion or crime. I think the number one threat in the world is romantic comedies.
Oh, absolutely. You know, seriously, when I was going through my counseling for pornography, I'm going like, like, why is it just the guys? What, and the guys had actually, you know, from his point of view, like romantic novels, romantic movies, that's pornography for women. And
that's
it
what
sets
I call
us
it.
Up
I
for the
it
wrong standard.
Oh,
do you?
I call it female pornography.
Really?
And it's exactly, it's the same thing. It's unrealistic expectations, just like male pornography is unrealistic. Yeah, you're like, you're going to get one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've always wanted to punch Fabio in the nose and just break it.
That's okay, because a bird did it, didn't it?
A bird did it, yes. On a roller coaster. Oh, man.
Can't believe my face.
We are actually talking with Mark Gunger. Am I pronouncing your last name? Is it Gunger?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. And pastor, speaker, author, musician, producer, 30 years of speaking all around the globe. Mark is one of the most sought-after speakers on marriage and family. And the reason is because he's actually got a sense of humor, which is just a rare find in the world of Christianity. And don't you find that, though, seriously, Mark, don't you find that most Jesus people have lost that spiritual gift of humor?
I don't know. I haven't.
Oh,
I don't know what it is. People are just so uptight.
Right.
Relax a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. We've so over-spiritualized all this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's just like, you know, relax a little bit. The relationships between men and women are much more down-to-earth and simple than anybody gives it credit for. And we try to over-romanticize it and over-spiritualize it, and it makes it so complicated, creates such unrealistic expectations that everybody's mad all the time.
In your travels, because you have traveled and you've spoken to a lot of people, do you find that the North American state of spirituality in mind is a lot more uptight and a lot more prone to not have a sense of humor?
You talking about white people?
No. No, I spent time in Australia, and I
because
loved
I
it.
I talk about that all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, are you kidding? When I go to see, I'm Puerto Rican, man. We go down to South, and there's, you know, a mixed crowd, blacks, Hispanics, Latinos. They go nuts. It's a scream. It is wild. I just did a weekend with a Lutheran church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know, a bunch of white folks just wasn't the same.
See, so my theory wasn't too far off.
It's like Mr. Rogers on heroin, right? Yeah. All right, listen, Mark, tell me about the number. I want to know this, right? Because anytime I hear, like, the six keys to success or the seven don'ts of cooking or the four...
Don't let me in. That's number one.
The 4 points of self-gratification. I mean, I want to know the number one key to incredible sex. Tell me the number one key to incredible sex.
Exclusivity. When one man focuses completely and totally on just one woman. Your mama was right.
No.
Snacking will ruin your appetite. Because we live in a culture that says the more you fantasize, the more you check out the hot babes, the more you gratify yourself, ooh, the better your sex life will be. And it's a bunch of nonsense. And it is ruining people's lives. And men, this is where we're dumb, just like a bunch of lemmings walking off a cliff. We just keep following the formula. Yep, think about more women. Yep, think about hot babes. Yep. And people have the worst sex lives in history. One of the biggest things in North America today is sexless marriages.
Really?
Men, I tell you what, okay, let me beat up on the guys on this one thing. The thing I have had is we don't have real men today. We have artificial men. We've got plastic, hollow men walking around. They don't live their real dreams. They watch them in movies. They don't play sports. They watch them on TV. They don't make love to a real woman. They sit there and fantasize and stay in a virtual world. It is all nonsense, and it is creating plastic, soulless men that are not men at all, and I've had it.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I love your passion, man. Well, okay, so you're living in the June and Ward Cleaver marriage of all marriages?
Yeah. That's me and my wife, the epitome of continual bliss. She's sitting right next to me.
Oh, is she really?
Shaking her head.
Is she really next to you?
Yeah.
I'll put her on the phone. I want some dirt on you, man. Put her on now. Put her on.
She will kill me.
Put her on. Come on.
All right, here we go.
She's saying no. I could hear her saying no.
No.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie. I'd like to just first of all apologize for the nonsense you've had to put up with for so many years.
Well, thank you.
And has he changed his prescription recently?
Yeah.
It might help, I think, right?
Yeah, we're
up
still
the meds,
trying to find
up the meds.
Right mix.
Yeah, different therapist. All right, I want some dirt on Mark, all right? Is he as perfect as he's sounding? Because these guys that do these marriage seminars, we all think they live in the bliss. Is he a sexual dynamo? Is he a sensitive, caring man? Is he macho and all, you know, stirred into a pot, and that's Mark Gunger?
Of course, that's exactly. I don't know how I could have put it any better in my own words.
Sounds like you need your meds up.
You must be in charge of the marketing department of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's me.
Is he a real guy? Like, just give me some dirt on him. Does he mess up at all?
Well, we all mess up.
That's not what I asked. Does your husband mess up? He does, right?
Well, I can't say that. He's sitting here beside me.
Well, that's the best time.
Sweet, you're on radio here.
I wouldn't ask if he wasn't sitting beside you.
No, he messes up and I mess up.
Really?
You know, none of us are perfect, so we all make our mistakes.
What's your?
But I remind him of things that he talks about.
Yeah, I know. My wife does the exact same thing to me. As a matter of fact, she actually pull out one of my messages and leave it on the bed pillow. You know, this,
yeah.
There it is, right? 101 keys to a happy marriage. I got to read that before I go to sleep. Now, what's your advice from a woman's point of view, from a wife's point of view? We got two dumb meathead males in the studio here. We need some tips, okay? He's starting to help, you know, women figure out men. Is that achievable? Can women really figure out men?
I think that women definitely can figure out men. They just have to realize that they're not women. And, you know, I don't know how else to explain it. I think the best thing that we can do is we can be there for them, can support them, but at the same time, we don't have to put up with all the junk that they might want to give us.
You're allowed to say crap.
It's Canada.
I did.
You're welcome to. We got two meatheads. We probably miss it.
Did she say crap?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, junk was good. It was
yeah,
a good alternative.
It works. Yeah, it works.
It worked. So, you know, but at the same time, you can't be so tough and demanding your own way that you can't allow them to be who they are.
What's the number one mistake you see in marriages?
Boy, that's a big one. The number one mistake. Putting your wife on the radio.
Oh.
That is the number one mistake.
Oh, man,
you win.
Hey, listen, it has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I guess we should probably get Mark back on.
Yeah, that'd probably be a great idea.
All right, good to chat with you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now that my marriage is over,
yeah.
Talk about now.
Yeah. Your ministry, your marriage, everything, it's done, man. Totally done. All right, where's the passion come from? Like, did you struggle in your own marriage? Like, you're obviously passionate about what you're doing.
Yeah. Passion just from seeing the stupidity. I mean, come on, we're just we have a state of just insanity today, and it just makes no sense. And everybody's over rationalizing, overthinking it, over spiritualizing it. You know, everybody talks about their soulmate. You talk about romantic comedies. You know, the whole soulmate thing. So there's that one cosmic soul out there for me. And then the church takes the same foolishness and spiritualizes it. You know, God has that one special person for. You know, the Bible never talks like that. Do you know why? Because the principles found in the Bible of patience, love, kindness, forgiveness are so powerful, they'll work with any two people in the world.
Hmm.
It's just the reality of it. Now, you want to choose as best you can. You know, you want to try to avoid marrying an axe murderer or something along those lines.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Hey, they sharpen their axe one side at a time, just like the rest
of us. Just like the rest of us.
Oh, my gosh. You know, but hey, it's not about finding a successful marriage. This is the bottom line. A successful marriage is not about finding the right person. It's about doing the right things. If you will do the right things, you will succeed. If you don't, you'll fail. I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. We got to do the right things. But see, Christians, they don't want to do the right things. They want to pray about it.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, God changed my idiot husband.
Yeah.
You know. God.
He's only God.
What now, Mark? What's your advice to guys out there who want their wives to change? And I mean physically, like you know, they buy them a gym membership, or you know, bad move, by the way. I tried that one. You know,
are you serious?
Oh, buddy. Listen, I'm the kind of guy that when I was single and dating in California, I was so nervous, I didn't know what to say. My buddy said, just pay them compliments. So I got nervous on this date. We're walking along the beach. She's kind of a big girl. I said, gee, for a fat girl, you don't sweat much.
You seriously said that?
Shortest date of my life.
Yeah, it explains the dent in your forehead.
Say things to my wife like, boy, you look really good in the dark. You know, stuff like that.
Oh my God!
So I need some help to be smoother, because
clearly,
sometimes I'm not saying all the times. And if my wife's listening right now, please remember you're a follower of Christ and forgiveness is key.
Yeah.
Sometimes women, after they have children, they forget about the fact that they have a body.
Yeah, but check this out.
What?
Here's the deal. When I talk about exclusivity, seriously, if you will just focus on one woman, it changes everything.
Are you saying that if my wife turns into a 480-pound Jerry Springer guest,
that might be a little tough.
That I won't notice?
That is a little tough. you know, and if that's the case, obviously she has some emotional issues because she's married to an idiot.
She's not being fed by you, yeah. So.
Yeah. So we all got to own it somewhere down the line,
right?
All right?
Right.
If you have a wife doing that, obviously there's some other issues going
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But a great sex life is not dependent in any way, shape, or form on a great physical appearance. It's really not.
No, you're right.
You know, it's about, hey, this is the girl for me. This is the only woman in the world who meets my needs. And, you know, I was reading, you ever read this book, Every Man's Battle?
Oh, no.
It's a great book. In there, he talks about this guy who, yeah, my wife, you know, she had, you know, a couple of babies and got kind of chubby, and I was kind of turned off by her. And then he got this concept of just looking and focusing on one woman. He says, I totally quit checking out anybody or comparing her to anybody. I only looked at her.
So he died.
And no. He says that those rolls of chub that used to gross me out started turning me on. It's, oh, I love
come
this
on.
Stuff.
Oh, man. He turned into a chubby chaser.
That's all, man. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter.
I'm
Look, there's a lot of people
back.
Out there. Some of the most gorgeous women in the world are heavyweights.
I know.
Absolutely. It's not about this perfect body nonsense.
Yeah. No, you're dead set right. And that's...
But I think the reverse has to be said. I mean, some of us guys don't really take care of ourselves.
Yeah, Tim, pull your shirt down,
yes,
please.
Yes, exactly. Refer to earlier remark about missing Link.
Yeah.
It's not about that. I'm telling you, it's not about perfection. It's not about physically perfect people appealing to each other. It's about becoming... Okay, let's put it this way. If you could get your wife to cook a gourmet meal for you every night, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Can't you cook better? But the reality is, if you didn't eat any lunch today, and no snacks, and no Burger King, and no Snicker bars, and
she could serve up Kraft dinner, and I'd be hunkering down.
She could serve up macaroni and cheese, and you go, oh, man, this rocks. I'm telling you, it's about maintaining positive hunger.
I like that phrase. I like that phrase. Positive hunger.
A positive hunger.
That'd be a good name for a boy band.
But what we get today is we got guys snacking all day long. Snacking all day long. Eating, shoving stuff down their... check this out. Look at this. Ooh, thinking, let their thoughts go nuts. Then they come home, and they're not hungry. Their wife can make the best thing in the world, and she's never good enough. It never works because you're so pigged out from all this stuff.
Mark, what's your advice for us guys? And by the way, folks, we're speaking with Mark Gunger, who is he's the big kahuna behind Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. The website is laughyourway.com. Laughyourway.com. Fighting.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as healthy fights?
Absolutely.
Like, do you and your wife fight?
Absolutely.
You're going to after this one.
All right, I want you to tell me how to fight.
Just fight fair, you know?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, just don't be mean and nasty, and don't be afraid of fighting. Look, real intimacy is a result of conflict. These nitwits who walk around saying, if you're really spiritual, you'll never have conflict. You'll avoid conflict at all times. When you become angry, you'll stop and say to yourself, well, first of all, is this conflict really justified? I mean, who thinks like that?
Who talks like that?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding?
Those are the people we like to hit and start conflict
with.
Listen
to these experts. You know, Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Dr. McGinnis, all this overanalyzed approach to this stuff, which is part of the problem, by the way. I'm not a PhD. The only thing I got behind my name is PR, which stands for Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, everybody's a PhD. Everybody's, you know, and let's face it, PhDs think different than the rest of the world.
Yeah, they do.
All right, the super analytical, everybody's over-processed, this total control of their emotions at all time. Well, it's great. They're smart guys, but come on. Who lives like this? Who thinks like this?
Yeah, yeah. As far as helping the young people under 25 who really are stupid when it comes to relationships,
yes.
They're stupid when it comes to choices and mates and things like that.
Yes.
And when we, you know, this whole Harlequin romance, blissful love, blind stupidity thing, how do you smack them upside the head?
Let me start by the very premise that you laid out. Under 25 and still single. You know, I'm thinking, what's your problem?
Okay.
Seriously.
Really?
You know, oh, man, I've had it with this nonsense of waiting till you're 28, 29, 30 years old. Our culture that is pushing that is they have just lost their minds in this country.
But, I, you know, when I have 22-year-olds and when I was doing a pastor thing and they come in and they want to get married, I would actually, for a 21-year-old, came and said, like, we'd like to get married. I said, no, I'm not marrying you. Find someone else. Do you think I was wrong? Was
absolutely.
I a bad person?
Dead wrong. Dead wrong. You'll probably go to hell.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today, folks.
Seriously, you were wrong. You won't go to hell for it, but you were definitely wrong.
Yeah.
I'm convinced the happiest marriages in the world, as I travel around, are all the people who got married when they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old.
Why? Why is that?
Dude, you can't even begin to get it to a 75-year anniversary if you got married in 30, 35
right.
years old. You're dead. You know, these people who have these long, incredible loves and these incredible relationships, and the church is so inconsistent. We say to them, don't have sex, don't do this, don't do that, but then wait till you're 30 to get married. I mean, come on, reality check here. These people are getting so messed up getting into sexual sin because we try holding a standard that the world has thrown at them, which is pure nonsense. Nobody is wired to wait. Well, I can say nobody. Generally speaking, people aren't wired to wait that long. There are people who happily wait till they're 40 to get married. God bless you. I don't care. But when we try and force this culture, exactly what you just said, I'm going to quote you, sinner, for saying that kind of stuff to people has created a very bad temperament and a standard in the church, and we are not helping people by doing this. And I want you to think about something. For thousands of years, men and women have enjoyed one of the greatest blessings a human being can ever enjoy, and that's called grandparenthood.
Hmm.
And for centuries, people have become grandparents. I'm a grandparent now, two boys. I'm 51 years old, in their late 40s, early 50s. Well, stop and think about this. If you wait till you're almost 30 to get married and 35 to have kids, and your kids do the same, dude, you're 70 plus before you ever become a grandparent.
Yeah.
You know, and who cares even about that? It's even worse than this. The one thing that has held our North American culture together in the midst of all the struggles and emotional breakups in families has been the presence of grandparents. Now, if you're the devil and you want to completely destroy marriage and homes and grandparents keep holding the glue together, what do you got to do? You got to get rid of the grandparents.
Interesting.
How do you do that? Wait. You're too young. Wait till you're older. Wait till you're older. I'm telling you guys, you know, Drew, Tim, we're yet to pay. There's going to be hell to pay in this country come another 30 years when people who are waiting till they're 35 to become parents for the first time and their kids are doing the same. There will be no grandparents around by the time those kids start having any struggles and their parents are having a hard time. Grandparents have been the stabilizing factor in relationships for thousands of years. We are erasing that because of this foolish idea of you can't get married too young because they say that they can't commit. What a bunch of nonsense. There's guys right now in Iraq, 18 years old, laying down their lives for one another. Don't tell me an 18-year-old can't commit. It's not about that. It's about having the skills and the knowledge and the ability. The reason that we have pushed this whole thing later is because statistically we've come up with this nonsense. They found these statistical probabilities for self-centered, narcissistic people to succeed. And my argument is, how about we quit raising self-centered, narcissistic children by the time they hit 18, 19, 20, 20 years of the... It used to be, man, you were an adult by that age. I got married at 18. That was 33 years ago. So what? We've traded all that in. We're trading in our grandparenthood. We're trading in the very existence of grandparents. Why? So we can drink more beer? So we can party longer? So we can date more people? So that we can get a career going? I mean, come on. This whole extended adolescence, it used to be you were a teenager from about 12 to 17. Now you're a teenager from 12 to like 30. We've created an extended adolescence, and we've yet to pay the price for this. I'm telling you, this is a bad, unless we start changing the way we think. And I think the church, what the heathens do is none of my business. I don't care. But what the church does, we've got to change the way we're thinking about this.
Hmm. Mark Gunger has been featured on national broadcasts such as Focus on the Family and ABC News. He has a daily radio program heard on over 250 radio stations nationwide and has had a television special broadcast on the worldwide TBN network. He's the big kahuna behind Laugh Your Way. Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. LaughYourWay.com is the website. Mark, it has been an absolute slice, man. Absolute slice.
You guys are certifiable, man. I have never been interviewed by a couple of wackier guys than you two, and this was an absolute complete joy.
Beautiful, buddy. And
anytime you want to talk, give me a call.
All right. Let me throw in one last thing. You're traveling with your wife.
Yes.
Smart man. Smart man. You may want to sell that package to Ted Haggard.
I hear you. I hear you, dude.
All right, buddy.
Tell me about it.
Take care, buddy.
All right, God bless.
See you, man. We are done for another day. Folks, if you missed any of today's show, including our fantastic interview with Beth Twitty, of course, Beth being the mother of Natalie Holloway, the teen who disappeared during a school trip to Aruba just last year, you want to go to our website, www.drewmarshall.ca. That's where all the action is there, folks. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Now, women make this big mistake. They assume I multitask, therefore he must multitask. But he does not multitask. If he's sitting at the table reading the newspaper, he is running the newspaper reading program. And she comes in and she starts holding a conversation with him. He's not hearing anything you're saying. Nothing. You have got to go over, close the newspaper reading program, load the listening program, but give him a minute. He needs to reboot, man. I'm not thinking of...